Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Friday, the 7th of August 2020. My name's Nick Hurley. Starting today with Glencore, one of the world's largest trading companies. Ivan Glasenberg, the long-term CEO, has come out saying that the diplomatic tensions between Australia and China are really hurting his commodity exporting business. His business does not include iron ore, unfortunately for him, and it does include a lot of coal. And he has touched in detail on coal. He says that China's decision to limit imports of foreign coal, as well as China's preference for Russian and Indonesian coal over Australian coal, has had a real impact on his business. He says this protectionist Chinese policy is forcing Chinese power utilities to pay between 40% and 60% more for each ton of coal they buy from local domestic Chinese miners rather than from our seaborne coal. And this is a key contribution to the severe downturn in prices for Australian thermal coal. Whitehaven and all of these other companies have had their share prices absolutely slaughtered in the last couple of years, partly due to this. He says that Australian coal was available at Chinese ports for about US$21 per ton less than Chinese coal, and yet they are still taking the view not to import Australian coal. It is definitely hurting it, and we have seen it in the prices. The Chinese, they need iron ore, and they are taking as much iron ore as they want from Australia. However, in coal, they do sort of have alternatives. They have to buy iron ore from Australia, essentially, at the moment, particularly with Brazil on such a sort of persisting downturn in their output. They have cut Australian thermal coal imports and even coking coal imports. There's ships waiting outside China to be discharged, and definitely Australia is not in the front of the queue. Touching on an emerging trend in the US, it's called fractional trading. And if you've been following the sort of the actual nominal price of the US, of a lot of the US tech stocks, they're very, very highly valued. Like Amazon's over $3,000 per share. Apple, which is trading around $400 a share, has just announced a 4-to-1 stock split, bringing it back to $100. But yeah, there's a lot of these sort of household names that retail investors really want to get into. And at $3,000 a share, that precludes a lot of, you know, the large lower class in the US. So Fidelity has rolled out fractional trading since January, and they say they've got more than 340,000 of its accounts with fractional trading enabled. And the customer buys or sells less than an entire share. Typically what they'll do is they'll say, oh, I have $500, I want to buy $500 of Amazon, and it's sort of done that way. Charles Schwab also says more than 60,000 accounts have bought its stock slices feature, which has just got turned on in June. So it's something probably we won't see in Australia. We don't have stock that's really, really highly valued in terms of its sort of nominal value. So, but who knows what will happen. Paris-based Accor Hotels, which is Australia's largest hotel operator, by some measures, they have over 20% of the Australian hotel market. Australia, for them, has actually been one of the best performing regions during the pandemic. And topically, that's been driven largely by the hotel quarantine scheme, which is obviously on everyone's lips here in Melbourne at the moment. They had their revenue drop globally by 52%. EBIT's dropped 60%. The revenue per available room, which is a common measure for hotels, fell by 49.3% in the first half in Australia. But he says over 80% of their global hotel portfolio is now reopened, and it's leisure travellers that are sort of driving their business at the moment. Accor's moved more recent years from sort of owning the hotel and operating the hotel to sort of almost, you know, asset light just be through an operational sort of agreement of the building type model. And he says these steps have helped the business sort of survive the downturn, and it gives them more of a argument to sort of push ahead with becoming a full asset light company. Now, just as Tesla is expected to enter the S&P 500 index in the coming months, there's news in The Economist magazine that they're looking at producing, it could be as early as September, a 1 million mile battery. Now, for an electric car, the battery is a really expensive component. It generally represents about 30% of the cost of an electric car, and it's also one of the parts that sort of wears out the fastest. So generally the electric battery lasts for about 8 years or 200,000 kilometers. So it does have a big impact on devaluation of electric cars because of that, you know, only an 8 year life and expensive replacement programs does preclude that. But the article sort of mentions that there's such a huge transformative impact of having batteries that are, you know, five times bigger in terms of their capacity. It will allow these sort of autonomous vehicles, which Tesla's also working on, to sort of operate all day long. You know, if they can run that long, then, you know, with lots of charges and that, it makes the sort of electric taxis much more of a viable proposition. One other feature of such durable batteries is that it could be used as a way to store surplus solar electricity that's generated during the day. It's certainly something we're seeing even this week in South Australia, where there's a lot of grid stability issues with solar panels on so many roofs generating power during low demand periods. And this could be a way, you know, everyone's cars plugged in during the middle of the day could soak up this energy. However, because that means the batteries are going to use a lot more, the current sort of battery life duration is not adequate. But these 1 million miles could be what will get you over the range. And there's even talk that in the near future there may be a 2 million mile battery, in which case that would mean the battery would be the last thing in the car that needs replacing. Moving to the markets now, about 40 minutes after the US open, it's largely flat, up about 11 basis points, the S&P 500. Gold is up again, and silver is up over 5%. It's definitely outperforming gold, but you know, both of those assets are doing exceptionally well. The Australian dollar is still quite strong, just over 72 US cents. Coming up later today, we have the quarterly statement from the RBA. Obviously, with so much fluidity in the sort of the Australian economy at the moment, probably a lot of what they have to say won't be terribly useful. And that's your early update for Friday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.